This is Straight Heat on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
You know, that was the first single off the Razor's Edge, Thunderstruck. Is this a live version? Is this a cover?
I'm not sure. It's the one we have in the system, though.
Yeah, this is not the studio version. But terrific AC/DC song. Right now, welcoming on, he covers the thunder for Welcome to Loud City for SB Nation. He's Chris Granum. What's up, Chris?
Hey, man. How you doing?
Well, I am doing pretty well. Maybe not as well as Captain Stat Whore Russell Westbrook, but he will average a triple-double for the second straight year and be the only guy to ever do it more than once. Just honest opinion. When you see Steven Adams boxing out a guy on a free throw so that Russ can come from the other side of the lane to grab the board, is it kind of embarrassing?
Oh, I think it's tremendous. I think it's unbelievable. You can't. I mean, when it comes to some of these kind of things, you know, it's much more enjoyable to be on the appreciative side. And I get that people get annoyed with the stat chasing and, you know, the stat hogging. But, you know, when you kind of crack down to it, he just averaged a triple-double against the best basketball players in the entire world in back-to-back seasons. I mean, that's incredible. And it wouldn't be, you know, he wouldn't be the first person to ever do it if it was so easy. So I can understand where people gripe, but I think it's much more enjoyable to appreciate it.
6 points, 19 assists, and 20 rebounds for Russell Westbrook today in 37 minutes. And the time that he boxed out Carmelo to get a rebound, I thought that was hilarious. Because,
it was phenomenal.
You know, it's just the irony of it. You know, Westbrook is a guy who's, you know, the knock on Westbrook is, you know, he's selfish. He doesn't make guys better. He's all about himself. And he stole a rebound for a guy who for his entire career, he's selfish. He doesn't make guys better. He's all about himself. I just thought that was kind of just the irony of that moment was tremendous for me. Now, last year, the Thunder won 47 games, and the argument for Russ winning MVP was, well, he averaged a triple-double, and there's no other stars on the team. Well, this year he had Paul George and Carmelo Anthony, and they won 48 games. And he averaged a triple-double, so he's the MVP, right?
That's an interesting way to look at it. I mean, it is pretty bizarre because, you know, last year that was the case. People were saying, yeah, you know, Russ is on his own, and he's bringing this Thunder team that he doesn't really have much help with. He's bringing them to, you know, towards the top of the Western Conference. And so, yeah, he's the MVP. But now, totally different scenario this year with plenty of star power on the team. I think it's more impressive the way he kind of adjusted. And you know, it's odd because I still don't really know if this Thunder team is good. You know, we know all three of those individual guys are good. They all have star power. But it is an interesting case the way the MVP, you know, situation last year now looks, considering what he did this year. But back to your point about Melo, I got to address that too. Melo then started boxing out so Russ could get rebounds towards the end of the game. So the fact that Russell Westbrook's chase here could make a guy like Carmelo Anthony start to get rebounds is remarkable in itself. So that maybe that should win him an MVP, if anything else.
See, I had no issue with Russ being a stat whore tonight because if David Robinson could be a stat whore and go get 70-something points on the final game so that he could win a scoring title, why can't Russell Westbrook go get 16 rebounds? Like, you know, the idea of it should be beneath you. No, it shouldn't. Guys do this all the time. That's not a big deal. The big deal to me is, what is it about this team that doesn't quite click? Because Westbrook, PG, Melo, Steven Adams, those four guys should be good enough to be better than one game better than they were a year ago. Where is the disconnect? Because sometimes we see this Thunder team, they look amazing. And sometimes we see them, and they look like they've never seen each other in 30 years.
Right, yeah. It's really bizarre because you would think that they would, you know, be right at the top of the Western Conference and they would have no issue producing night in and night out. But I think really the issue that it comes down to, and it sounds pretty simple, but it's individual inconsistencies. You know, sometimes you, like on Christmas Day against the Rockets, certain games you see them all clicking at the same time, and it's a phenomenal product when they do. But guys like Paul George have been pretty inconsistent. You know, prior to about a week ago, he had a really, really, you know, pretty poor last month to month and a half, and Steven Adams was clicking at that time. And now that Paul George had a great game tonight, and Carmelo wasn't really there, it's the fact that they all haven't really clicked at once. You know, they're not the deepest team, so that hurts them as well. Other than Jeremy Grant, they don't really have much power off of the bench, and so that's going to be an issue, you know, in the playoffs. But I think individual inconsistencies is really what it comes down to, because we all know they can play. It's just a question of why it hasn't completely clicked at this point.
Now, Paul George and Melo, these are both guys who previously, before coming to Oklahoma City, these were ball-dominant guys. Now, Westbrook, right, of course, the most ball-dominant guy, and as the point guard, he's going to have the ball the most. Paul George, a guy who often had the ball in his hand, would create his own shot, and was asked to be a little bit more of a spot-up shooter this year. I think the first half of the year he did really well with it. The second half of the year, not so much. Carmelo has never been asked to be a spot-up guy, and you could make the case he just gave you the worst season of his career. Is that something that you look at this team and you say next year Russ is going to be on his own again?
You know, I don't know about that. I don't know if I would go that far, but you can't really deny the issues with adjustments, especially when it comes to Carmelo. I mean, Paul George, they knew that they were going to have to change their roles, obviously, coming into the season. And like you said, at the beginning of the year, Paul George was fine. He kind of turned into a rich man's 3-and-D, and he was great. And then the inconsistencies hit, like I was saying before, in the second half. Melo, I didn't even think he would adjust. So the fact that he was able to adjust into a spot-up role in itself, I was kind of impressed, but it wasn't an efficient spot-up guy. It wasn't a productive spot-up guy. So, yeah, that's a problem. And you know, his defensive effort has never really been there, so to complain about that, which I was just about to do, wouldn't really make much sense. In terms of next season, I don't think Paul George is going to go anywhere. You know, prior to this year, I thought he was going to do one season in Oklahoma City, and then he was going to bounce to L.A., go play with the Lakers. Definitely still a possibility, but I don't see him leaving at all. As for Melo, I don't really know what's going to happen. He hasn't really shown much in, you know, post-game interviews and that kind of stuff, so I'm not really sure what he's going to do, but I would not be surprised if Paul George hung around and stuck with Russ for another year.
Is it a concern that Russ's three-point shooting has gotten so bad?
Yeah, I would definitely say it is, and it sounds, you know, like a lot of people are just saying, he's just having an off year, or he, you know, doesn't get the same looks because of guys like Paul George and Carmelo Anthony, you know, as his spot-up guys on the wing. But, yeah, it has to be a concern. You know, anyone who says that numbers dropping off like that aren't concerning, they're lying. So, yeah, it's a concern, and I'm sure he'll address it. But a lot of times his three-point shooting is kind of altered by his late-game shot selection. And there's been a lot of games in the second half of the season where the Thunder going into the fourth quarter down 20 points, down 15 points. And so he goes back into last season's mode and just tries to, like, go into overdrive and kind of take over mode, which we've seen Russ do so often. But it's almost too late, so he just starts taking poor shots and turns into an inefficient Russell Westbrook. So I think that has a lot to do with his poor numbers. But still, nonetheless, I agree. Yeah, it is a concern.
All right, playoff scenarios here. At the half, Portland's up 14 on Utah. Are you pulling for Portland, or are you looking for Utah to make a comeback?
Well, you know, I gotta have OKC with the home court, so they're gonna play the Jazz either way. But it really all depends on the home court. And OKC has played much better down the stretch at home. They were pretty even across the first half of the season, but lately they've been pretty strong at home. So I gotta pull for OKC to grab home court against Utah. But either way, that's going to be a really good series because those two teams know each other very well. And, I mean, you know, there's no doubting the defensive ability of Rudy Gobert. He's just phenomenal on the defensive end. So that'll be a great battle to watch in the first round between him and Steven Adams. That'll be an absolute blast.
All right, so Portland wins. They go to the three. OKC bounces up to the four.
Correct.
Utah falls to five.
Yep, correct.
Say that way, the Thunder will have home court advantage the first round. But you'll get the Jazz have played very well. What are they, 31-7 since being 9 games under, and right. You'd get the Jazz, which would be the ultimate defensive team, and in the second round you'd probably get the Rockets, which is the ultimate offensive team. So
exactly, yeah, it's kind of a funny mix. But again, I mean, Utah and Oklahoma City are very familiar with each other. I think that would at least go six games, if not 7. And I don't know. I mean, I'm not really sure which way I would lean in that series. Like you said, Utah has been playing out of their minds for the last couple months, and I would be concerned if I was Oklahoma City if I had to go into Utah if they got home court. I think it's, Oklahoma City, at least from my experience in watching them all season, they're kind of a very mental team. So if you could get that home court and just check that off the list right off the bat, that would really help them a lot.
All right. Now, what are your expectations for the Thunder in the playoffs? Do they get to the second round?
I could see them getting to the second round, but no further. I would love to say, that I could really see them making a run. And they obviously have the star power to do it. They have the scoring to do it. But I just don't see it happening. They're way too inconsistent. And it's really disappointing with the expectations that were, along with them coming into the season. But I don't see them, Pat, getting through the second round, no. But definitely I could see them winning a first-round series.
If they don't win the first-round series, the season's a disaster?
That's a really good question. There's a lot of ways to look at that. I don't think it would be a total disaster, because if you look at the way a lot of these super teams, I'm not saying they're a super team, but they have followed that model, it has taken them, some teams a couple years, a year or two, to kind of mesh correctly and really get going. So if you could have Paul George stick around for another year or two, if they were to get knocked out in the first round, I don't think it would really be a disaster. I mean, I'm sure plenty of people would paint it that way, but the people within the organization definitely wouldn't. I know, we've heard all year that it's not title or bust, and Paul George said it earlier this week at a practice. It's really not title or bust, but I'm sure plenty of Thunder fans feel it is, necessary to get past that first round, and I totally understand that, but I don't think it's a disaster, no.
Chris Granum covers the Oklahoma City Thunder for Welcome to Loud City for SB Nation. You can follow him on Twitter at Chris Granum. Appreciate your time today, buddy. Great stuff, great info, and I appreciate you being a good sport, a little back and forth with me with Russell Westbrook. I'm glad that you didn't play that off nicely, didn't get upset. So thank you for being a good sport and giving us some great info, buddy. Appreciate it.
Of course, and thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
All right, Chris Granum, welcome to Loud City, SB Nation, covering the Thunder.